Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with yours truly, Helmed and Dwight, as usual, from 4 to 6 here to keep you company. In Eagle FM, wherever you find yourself, thank you for tuning in. And as usual, we always bring you one topic after another. We do it like, thank God Dwight is not here, so I can just fly with it. But we do it like DJ Khaled. Monday to Friday, we just come with, you know, another one after another one after another one. Well, yesterday we were talking about some of the pros and cons of basically having a gambling industry. On one side, it is a good source of revenue generation for a country, and this is not just present in Namibia. It is also present in South Africa, among other countries, with, if you have only, you know, well, Hollywood, thank heavens, have managed to reach every one of us, and we at least know a thing or two about, Las Vegas, which is, at least if it still not is for a very long time, was the gambling capital of the world. And, the ball has its own pros and cons, but that was yesterday. Today's discussion is about a climate change in somewhat a different way. Not a climate change as in different mitigation strategies and the progress as per the conference of parties that is held annually. Where basically countries have to show up every year at COP30 was in Brazil last year. Where's the COP31 gonna take place this year? I have to find that out. Countries basically have to meet and annually and present their the progress that they are making in terms of playing their part in climate change and mitigation strategies that they are implementing in their country, especially in terms of energy transition. But today's that has been for a very long time. I believe that has been like a lot of reports have been produced on that on that side of that side or on that subtopic of climate change. A lot have been talked about on energy transition, modes of transport. We are talking both air, land, and sea. But today's discussion is about looks at the legal battle that is taking place. Legal battles, plural, that has been taking place and continue to take place within the energy transition discussion around the world. How? Where basically the scientific community in terms of trying to understand the cause and mitigation strategies that comes, with the subject of climate change and the legislations being made. It turns out that there's a little bit of a clash and, as in everything else that's basically implemented on, implemented and becomes part of human interaction, there are disputes bound to arise from that. And one way of settling, at least the civilized way, not the Bruce Wayne way of settling those disputes, the civilized way would be, this is civilized in a literal sense of the word civilized, not the British definition of civilized where they said they are going to go to all the world and civilized and did the exact opposite of civilizing. So, they just decided to go, that's why legality cannot be used as the, a standard of what is wrong and right. Not just legality alone is not going to cut it. Mm. Because a lot of things have been legal, but have, the moral aspect of those particular activities have been always been questionable. You can take something and make it, introduce it in your laws and call it, it's legal. It can become legal. You can bring the laws, you can basically even put the police behind it for enforcement.
Yeah.
But the morality will always be questionable. Like, two easy examples that you can think of is, interesting enough, they all took place in the, 19, just about the same period, 1930s, Unit 731, Genashiroishi in Japan. And yours truly, Adolf Hitler. Look, the thing is, look.
Look, no, I'm not frowning because he did.
Because
of his name is mentioned, but he did do some certain things. Like, he's also known him and who was the other president? Was it Eisenhower? Or was it wasn't Roosevelt? were supposedly the only two known presidents in human history, specifically of the Western world, who told manufacturers, private sector, don't increase your prices so as to not increase inflation or to have any inflationary creep taking place.
Dwight?
Yeah.
You know when you know when you always say at least one or two times you pointed out to me that 1930s Germany, actually got a lot. They gave their gold to the to Swiss banks. For storing. And after World War II, they went there to ask them where the gold was, and they went, "What gold?"
And then they put handbrakes up on the existence of that gold.
You know, it turns out one of the bank that played a major role in basically keeping and basically channeling in terms of financing that gold to channel it back into 1930s Germany to commit all the atrocities that they committed was the Bank of International Settlement.
IBS.
So you're telling me the bank that was basically implicated?
Oh, and they brought out an annual report.
The Bank of International Settlement. These guys literally participated.
And I downloaded the report because I was like, I want to see what's going on here.
And they are the ones in charge of pretty much every central bank.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's apparently not a mandatory thing to be part of the IBS.
Uh-huh.
But it's sort of like to say, look, if you call yourself a central bank, or if you're a country with a central bank system, or that has a central bank that is in charge of monetary policy, we'd like to invite you to be part of this discussion. Nothing mandatory. No one's holding a gun against your head. Just be here for the sake of being here.
Look, that's one thing I like about, for the most part, about the Swiss.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that they're good at, and I think that's why, you know, apart from the awesome chocolate and the awesome chocolate and their banking industry, is one of, so, Donald Rudy. What sorcery is this?
But you were still saying the chocolate thing.
Yeah. So their financial institutions were, for the most part, shrouded in secrecy, which is why it was, for a very long time, most of their financial institutions were go-to, storage facilities for ill-gotten blood money.
Mm.
But now the law seems to be somewhat somewhat relaxed. But the thing is, I was just watching a documentary on YouTube when they started talking about to understand how because ever since the whole point of follow the money was brought to my attention, every time that I find take for example just the government who is doing something that's questionable, I don't care about what the politicians are saying and all the PR that they're feeding to journalists and all that. I just want to find out, who is funding? Who is signing the check? Because that is the main decision maker.
Mm.
Oh, boy. There were a lot of American, Swiss, and British bankers that literally channeled money, either moved directly or indirectly money, into Nazi Germany.
Mm.
And then they turn around and make it look like Hitler is the only evil guy. Like, really? Is he a nice guy? Nowhere near. But the guys that provided him the money that enabled him to do all those things. I had to learn about those guys on my own. A bunch of them, by the way, died of natural cause. Either in Argentina or Britain.
And they were living it up,
Yeah, they were just living it up like they did not, commit years of atrocity. And
it's like the modern day lie that people like to talk about that, what's his name? Bezos is a self-made billionaire. We all realize, apparently, how nuanced that story is about the $200,000 that he got, as sort of like seed funding, was directly $100,000 from the one family member. The other one was $100,000 from his mom and his dad. No, his parents gave him the $200,000 at two intervals just to keep his business innovation afloat. Just to keep it above sinking, basically.
Okay, now, how many family members do you have that has $100,000?
US. Just like that.
So it's even worse. It's even way worse.
The worst part is, The worst part is, it's literally, that's on its own, eh? Close to 5 million accumulated. 5 million together.
Yeah.
So which family member would just give you 5 million like that? Oh no, go and start a business. We'll give you 2 point, we'll, no, I'm lying. It's not to 5 million. It's at least 3 points.
Oh, that's in Namibian dollars.
1.6 million is 3.2. So at least 3.2 million just lying idly about.
Go and start your business.
Just go and start your business, my boy. There you go. Be a good boy. Go and start the business. Doesn't
Trump have the same story? I mean, he was just
Trump inherited from his dad.
He was given a small loan by his father.
No, he inherited the business.
A very small loan, not a big one, just a very small.
No, he inherited the business, Amud. Okay, there's the small 10 million according to Hende, our cameraman.
Okay, but look, the whole idea of...
But he inherited the business nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the Trump property empire was what his dad was running as a rental empire. So firstly, they just had tenants, and then Trump decided to go into property development.
Yeah.
Because his dad was just into collecting rent.
Now, the whole self-made billionaire is one cooked up lie. And even if it was true, the whole thing of, I can...
There's a few.
I can drop out of school because, this billionaire dropped out of school. First of all.
Not in 2026.
First of all, Mark Zuckerberg dropped out of Harvard.
University.
Focus on Harvard.
Yeah.
You want to drop out of Mukuru Development Community High School. There are two different institutions on two different continents.
Who's Mukuru Development?
That was basket mouth joke.
I would know. No. Look. If
there are two different schools.
If that institute exists, then,
yeah.
I'm sorry slightly, but it's Helmut's joke. Secondly, there's nothing wrong with going there. Please, guys.
No, there's nothing wrong with going
there.
But
you are right, Helmut.
All I'm saying is,
it's just assess yourself and your position.
Yeah. Please, just, assess your situation.
Yeah.
Financially and socially and, might I add, continentally? Okay, that's uncalled for.
No, you are.
I love a continent.
No, you are right.
Okay, so on settling disputes, courts have been, has been employed as they have been in all kinds of things in settling disputes that are emanating from the way that we are going about the climate change discussion. Yeah. And much of these discussions, from the look of things, are coming from what must be implemented, and the implementation now. The implementation comes with the democracy at play. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't just shove stuff down people's throats. You have to put it out there for consultations, and that's where you have this division in camps. There are those that are going for it. Energy transition, for example, or mode of transport that is environmentally friendly, and you have one group that's going to say, no, absolutely no, we're not going with that. And when I was looking at that, the first thing that came in my head was, remember the last time we were talking about alternative cooking energy sources, especially on a domestic level.
Yeah, and then when we realized that one plant that showed up here by using the sunlight, you know, that mobile stove, that sunlight stove situation?
Yeah.
That solar stove. And then we realized it said that alternative method doesn't actually work if the sun goes down.
What time do people cook dinner?
Dinner. Yeah. Keyword. When is dinner? At night.
Yeah.
So you can't cook all three meals in daytime hours.
Look, the thing is...
Okay, maybe you can if you have a fridge.
Exactly.
But then you are in a different spectrum of the living standards measure, the LSM.
Yeah.
Because from 5 and 6, Helmut, from 4, 5, 6, from 4, the level is that you've got access to electricity.
Yeah.
And then they start looking at each levels. I forgot how to look at the LSMs. Okay, not forgot. But I just forgot the one aspect in terms of when I was exposed to LSMs and LSM measurements in understanding where your consumer is. Nah.
Start by explaining. What is LSM in English?
Okay. So LSM stands for Living Standards Measure.
Okay.
The Living Standards Measure, I don't know what's the maximum one that you can end up in, but the lowest is 0 or 1, one of the two.
Yeah.
So the living standards measure then looks at education levels. Then it looks at the convenience levels that the person has around them. Then it looks at access to various other kinds of convenience levels or mechanisms. So we're talking about education level, where you are currently, or what have you completed. Secondly, it then also factors in your age. At which age do you find yourself in?
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you're a 12-year-old child, you'd be pretty low. Because the question would then be, do you probably have access to electricity? It would be yes. But do you have access to an income? Then it'll be a definite no, because child labor is illegal.
Yeah.
It could also then mean potentially you might be a 19-year-old who has an allowance, access to money, but you probably don't, you don't drive, you don't have a car. So then you're probably at a 4, 5, or 6 LSM. If you are a business leader, you probably can afford a whole bunch of things, depending also how big your enterprise is. So living standards measure takes into consideration various kinds of things of people, where they find themselves, do they have access to transport, do they eat on a daily basis, do they have a fridge, do they have a geyser, do they pay for TV, meaning do they have pay-per-view TV services, do they pay for internet, do they have access to reliable internet, all those things. So, when you come to the LSM discussion, the particular scenario in terms of what I was explaining now, is that sometimes you can have someone that would like to go off-grid. You've heard of the South Africans, for example, because of Eskom's load shedding, eh?
Yeah.
The South Africans that went completely off the grid, installed solar for their homes and everything.
Yeah.
Seriously rich guys. But then, what is the first thing they obviously also realize? South Africa receives a lot more rainfall than Namibia. So South Africa can have, for example, extended days of rainfall cover. Now, where is your solar electricity in that stage? Are you busy running like the Nigerians? Helmut, let me tell you a joke. Do you know what the Nigerians are advertising in the... Because the advertising we get for here on Supersport, the advertising we get is rest of Africa and advertising. We don't get the South African advertising as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This Nigerian rest of Africa advert that I have to sit and watch, they advertise a smart generator, electricity generator.
Smart what?
It's like it's not smart in a way. It's just fancily packaged, you know? It's not like the conventional generator we know. You know, the thing with the handlebar.
The one that you have to yank.
Yeah, with the yanking mechanism or the push the button mechanism. Yeah. It looks like a little, do you know what an inverter is?
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like an inverter. Because an inverter is most nice and packaged. But inverters are basically only used for the welding guys, you know? It doesn't look like something that you can just go, hey, I've got.
Yeah, I got one of these. It's either the welding guys, because it's either the welding guys or the people that use, that have, solar power, installations, because it has to invert your DC to AC, which is used by your appliances. Yeah.
So. This one ad, I don't know why the people are going sad and, you know, why it's lights on, lights off in the ad. Until I see the product at the end, and I'm like, it's a...
look and then a second, the ad opens with lights going on and off?
No, lights off, and then the next one is lights going on, and then I see the end of the ad is the product that gets showcased, and I'm like, it's a Nigeria, you guys are not... You don't feel ashamed for advertising generators to the international market. Now... Ask yourself with AFC FDA, how reliable does that image look to you if there's a Nigerian company still advertising generators to the rest of Africa?
Okay, the thing is, I think that's going to be even more challenging with the energy transition, climate change discussion it seems to be gaining momentum. And that's because sometimes I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
And my arms. Yeah. Now, look, the thing is, with the energy transition discussion, it's even going to be more challenging, I believe, for them to come up to increase their power generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because now we are only focusing for the most part on the, green forms of energy, aka the renewable ones.
Yeah.
And this has been, you know, this has been obvious, even, I mean, on a continental level. I mean, it's the reason why Afriexim Bank, with the one banking, you know, financial institution that I keep forgetting, it's why they decided to come up with Africa Energy Bank, because the, because the foreign financial institutions were very reluctant to finance a non-renewable energy sources that, you know, take for example, if you want to set up an energy infrastructure that, you know, that uses oil and gas, for example, or a coal power plant. The foreign, like non-African, especially the Western financial institutions, were very reluctant in financing initiatives like that.
Yeah.
Unless the energy infrastructure that would like, that you want to invest in is of renewable, then they were, they would easily give you the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they were like, okay, you know what? We have energy problems and we want to industrialize, and you can't industrialize without a reliable, but, and most importantly, affordable source of energy. Mm. So we would, you know, I think we'd just be stubborn a bit by, coming up with our own financing mechanisms and then just, finance the non-renewable ones that you would, that you are reluctant to finance. And then for renewable ones, we'll just come to you and borrow.
Do you know what's the funny thing?
Now, the question is, how have a big economy, the size of Nigeria, how haven't they figured out energy?
Here's the funny thing. Remember when we did the IEA World Energy Investment Report last week? No?
Yeah.
That report highlighted specifically they are anticipating an increase in oil, gas, and coal investments as well. Besides, right next to the renewable investments.
Yeah.
So both of these, renewable and non-renewable, will see an increase in investments, primarily because of the conflict scenarios around the world. And because block plus block equals unblock is still active. We thought there would have been a peace deal by end of last week. Just for things to kick off again over the weekend, now they're firing shots again.
So, I have my hand so far. Continue.
So the funny thing is that
we
clearly cannot see an end to the particular discussion. But before we continue,
commercial break, I mean,
we'll quickly take a commercial break.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Innovative
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
And we continue. So, what I can't is, wrap my mind around is why a country the size of Nigeria in land mass, population, economic capacity, this is one of the big five economies, just right next to South Africa and Angola. And according to the Afriexim Bank 2026 Africa, 2026 Africa Trade Report, Nigeria's trade with other African countries is just doing, fairly well in terms of, actually very well in terms of progressions, in terms of increase. And putting the theory of Africa continental free trade area into practice. So economic wise, if we are to believe the source, the statistics coming from these sources, which are legitimate sources, so I can't think of any reason not to believe institutions like the Afreximbank Bank, African Union, or the African Development Bank. But now the question is, they got their independence like what? This 1960s, and the energy is still questionable. It's actually energy, energy problems in terms of electricity. Energy problems in Nigeria is something that Nigeria is basically known for, which is weird for a country of that that economic size. In the same way that the Gambia also is known for its own type of tourism. You can look that up. If you know it, you can just laugh. If you don't, then you can just, you can Google it. Practicing. Now, there have been trends, it turns out, that's been going on the world over in the world of climate change discussion. A lot of people have been suing each other. Now you have scientists and lawmakers actually, being required to do a lot of explaining. In order to have the right legislations, or more like the right legislations in terms of drafting up the legislations that is in line with energy transition, climate, and basically everything, climate change. And with that aside, in the middle of lawmakers trying to figure out, you have scientists on one side trying to figure out what is going on, like how to do the transition, because that is a scientist thing. The scientists are the ones that know these chemicals are the ones that causing harm to the environment, and this is what we use it for. And if you are going to find an alternative, what chemicals should we switch to? That's not going to be an easy one. That is not going to be an easy one. Like I have pointed out, I don't think you have to be a scientist to realize that we are not going to stop refining fossil fuels anytime soon. And I believe, this is one of those conversations that we are not having, and that is tar, the material that, that is used to build the roads, to build the roads, is a byproduct, one of the many byproducts. Actually, it's the last byproduct that comes out of the fractional distillation of crude oil. It's the last one. It's the last one. Now, that means we can come up with electric cars today. You can convert all the internal combustion engines into electric motors, and everyone has an electric car. But you still need to refine tar. You still need to refine crude oil so you can have a tarred road. Right?
Yeah.
What I can't seem to wrap my mind around is, in these litigations that has been piling up from the look of things, 2000.
No.
Even more.
Since 1986.
Yeah.
Since 1986, and a majority of them are actually American. That's the worst part. But the 2000 most began from, they started spiking up since 2015. But yeah.
With the Paris Agreement. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. That is the whole crux.
And
literally, people became aware. Oh, so we can take both governments and corporations to jail.
Just drag them to court.
Not to jail, sorry.
To court.
How do you lock up the whole civil service?
The main challenge is, the main challenge, especially from a legislative standpoint, in a more like a prosecution, let's just say from a prosecution standpoint of prosecuting a multinational and much of the high-ranking public official is that it's either a bunch of the, chances are very high much of the public officials that you are, that you will be going against have a bunch of parliamentary and diplomatic immunities. That's one. And you have your multinational corporations operating under what? limited liability. Now, so in other words, you can find them, but the shareholders that are basically, pouring in all the monies and a bunch of directors and everyone who is basically making all the laws or more like the activities that's giving you a headache, you can prosecute them personally.
Actually, you'll first have to find out if you have an extradition order for a treaty with a country.
Yeah. So going legally against public officials, especially the high-ranking one and those ones that are in executive office and multinationals, that is a serious legal pain in the neck. Because one has immunity, the other has limited liability. Congratulations. How do you even navigate the challenges of what would you call holding them accountable? Because we know that now, even when it comes to, even when it comes to privacy, multinational companies like your tech giants have multiple times been caught of spying on their users, and then they are fined, $5-10 million. And then when you look at the time period that they have been spying and how much information they have collected and how much money they have made from this information, then you see that the fine that they paid, it's a tiny fraction of the billions they made. So
year on year.
Look, it's worth it. It's worth it.
But that's also what the courts do. The courts are not there to be sort of like what's the thing? To be someone's like personal whip, to try and find revenge through someone.
Yeah.
Remember that thing that you and I constantly tell our listeners every time when we talk about civil litigation or civil court cases.
Yeah.
The first thing the court will do is say, "Why are we here?
Please explain.
Please, why did party A bring us, that's now the court, and party B to this court? What do you want us to hear? And why must we listen to you?"
We're here because, well, he punched me in the face. Okay, you know what? How can we proceed from here?
Oh, no, the first thing they will ask you, why were you punched in the face? You remember that famous interrogation strategy that our parents used on us? Well, we come and say, Mom, this and this did this to me. And then the first question we get, what did you do to the person to act that way? And then you see just your defense crumble from there because now I have to motivate to someone who's supposed to be my ally, but is technically my parent who can override my particular, needs and wants with a snap of the fingers. And then unfortunately, I'm sorry, guys, if you're Gen Z, you don't know these parents. I really
No, you don't.
Yeah,
especially if you are last born.
I'm really sorry, Gen Z. You guys don't know this, and Gen Alpha, if you're listening, you guys don't know this kind of parents. You might know your grandparents to be that way,
yeah,
but you don't know the parents. So the unfortunate thing is, the courts will always for the past weeks, I've been watching this one. YouTube streamer known as Atozi. Atozi likes following, he was the guy that made me aware of Johnny Somali's antics. I don't know if you remember Johnny Somali. Remember the guy that was in Japan and then in Korea? The streamer that got locked up.
Just causing
the chaos.
Chaos, yeah.
Oh, Johnny Somali is now facing 2 years in prison. 2 years in working custody. No? 2 years in a working prison. Do you know what that is, Hamoud?
Gulag?
No. Yeah, it's similar to a gulag. It's also similar to what the Americans had back in the 1920s, from the 1800s, the chain gangs.
Yeah.
Where the prisoners were used like what we sometimes see here with our
correctional service
inmates. Because we can't call them prisoners most, according to the correctional services. The guys work in the facilities. Now, in America, the chain gangs used to be taken to a farm, and they become like the cheap labor. They work on the plantation. They pick and harvest the crops, and they are the ones doing the field work and everything. You don't need to pay regular Americans contracts. You don't have to have regular procurement contracts out to try and stimulate.
So is that like part of their penance?
Basically, yes. But it was also a scenario from what the small history of the United States I read up upon in that period was that it was mostly used against
It depended on your skin color, what chain gang work you would do.
So it was basically an extension of the...
Yeah, of the civil rights scenario, or the civil rights battles that the U.S. experienced. Now, coming back also to the discussion where we left off basically with this litigation discussion. Now, when I went through this report, and this is a slightly different report from the reports that we've covered, Ahmed, because the other product reports like the IEA reports and so on, and even the UN reports, they were easy to read. I think because these guys were a bunch of lawyers that put this report together, these three ladies, they made it in a way that, yeah, it's easy to read, but yeah, they put in a lot of context for you.
Yeah.
Which is good, which is a very good thing. Now, here's one of the surprising developments that are taking place. Remember the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement starting point, the trend? Yeah. But actually that the whole recorded history of climate change-related court cases, they also define specifically that the court case has to indicate literally by saying or highlighting a climate change action that is at the core of the case. It shouldn't say, I am taking Dwight's business to the court because Dwight's business is just making noise. No. The noise, and then to find out, and through discovery, which is most one of the things that they have, which is like one of the civil court case phases, is they've got this thing known as discovery. I don't know if Namibia has a similar period, but discovery is where like all sides have to bring evidence and documentation laid before, you know, it's the, what do they call it? The pre-trial preparation phase, I don't know what we call it, that pre-trial phase, that specific one. We just call it pre-trial.
Pre-trial would be like basically a general term, which we also use a lot here.
Which could be multiple stages or multiple phases, right?
Yeah.
Because we heard that there was multiple, like more than one of those pre-trial phases. Remember the Ministry of Agriculture versus Amupanda court case, but the red line case.
Yeah.
Because what I assume the judge was basically...
Join us for the Ehangano Concert Volume 2 with Ali Tobias. Experience an unforgettable evening featuring songs from her latest album, A Bilo, performed live with the full band. Special guest appearances by Tate Buti, DA, Paige, and One Accord. All proceeds from the event will go towards supporting the Our Lady Orphanage. The event takes place on 4 July 2026 at the National Theatre of Namibia. Tickets are available on Web Tickets Namibia for 450 Namibian dollars. Don't miss this powerful night of music, inspiration, and giving back. Ehangano Concert Volume 2. See you there. Join us for the Ehangano Concert Volume 2 with Ali Tobias. Experience an unforgettable evening featuring songs from her latest album, A Bilo, performed live with the full band. Special guest appearances by Tate Buti, DA, Paige, and One Accord. All proceeds from the event will go towards supporting the Our Lady Orphanage. The event takes place on 4 July 2026 at the National Theatre of Namibia. Tickets are available on Web Tickets Namibia for 450 Namibian dollars. Don't miss this powerful night of music, inspiration, and giving back. Ehangano Concert Volume 2. See you there.
Welcome back. We are 14 minutes into the hour, 14 minutes left to the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, this is Homran with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we are talking about the litigations, more like the court cases that has been taking place and continues to take place, happening in the climate change discussions. And they seem to be piling up, which is a good thing, if you ask me, because that is reflecting that we are trying at least to, as much as possible, to listen to both sides of the story.
Yeah.
Which is, turns out, ish.
No, no, it's good, Helmut, because just so that our listeners know, where we ended off just before the break was literally the understanding about the trends based upon this climate litigation or climate change litigation taking place. And one of the key things, obviously, is a discussion based upon, you know, what we've seen so far. Now, I was still explaining the aspect of the definition that they were highlighting. Now, specifically, the report that is written by the London School of Economics and Politics, that's their full name, I think. In London, LSE. Now, LSE has a subdivision, a legal one, known as the Grantham Institute. Now, the Grantham Institute, just so that I read here, is known as the Grantham Research Institute on Climate Change and the Environment. So it's a specific research arm for the university itself. Now, in the definitions field about defining the climate change litigation, they cite your court case or the court case that they measure should specifically say that it's a climate change or an environmental protection based court case, meaning because there is, let's say there's a specific species of bird that lives in a specific wetland. And let's, for example, say that thing of Jared Kushner and the daughter.
Oh, Susanna Island in Albania.
In Albania.
Yeah.
Which is most one of the things that they're citing because there's a specific flamingo that lives there.
Yeah.
And the aim that apparently this development wants to come and do is open up a luxury resort.
Yeah.
But one of the functions they have to do is basically drain a part of the wetland.
Oh, and Albanians can protest.
Yeah, and it's an ecosystem. The thing is basically it has an ecosystem itself, and one of the things is this protected bird lives in it. Now, these are similar things that Namibia also does.
Yeah.
Let me also say this.
Didn't we go through a report that, went well, if the area is protected and there is some precious metal.
No, it's a policy document. It's not a report.
Yeah, it's a policy document.
You like calling everything reports.
I know, right? Everything is a report for me.
It's a policy document.
So, yeah, even if, you know, UNESCO, you know, heritage site.
But if we see gold.
If there is gold,
we've got to go hammer it. You know, if we see lithium, it's got to be hammered.
If there's oil there,
drill baby drill. We will drill. If we see it looks like a little bit of, what's the other? If it's copper, we will hammer it out.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know. but at least that was a policy document, Ahmed. Now,
we haven't started practicing it yet.
That's the thing. I mean, even the conversation, for example, like Monday's show here, the first hour. Before we continue with our show specifically, when I was here with Francisco, for the Ulwazi show, where Francisco also highlighted policy documents, you know. So policies can be active, but you and I know that policies are not law. Policies can be active, but a policy is also not law. Until there's a law that says, this ministry must do this and do this and do that. It's also up for debate. Now, the litigation obviously shows that both corporations and governments can be taken to court.
Yeah, this is where I start looking at things like, this is going to be a long ride.
Yeah, it is. It is going to be a long ride, specifically for us in Namibia.
Yeah.
For us, Namibia, who champions environmental protection, and since we mentioned it in the constitution, the protection, and we've got the Ministry of Environment, who's technically also, you can also consider them a super ministry, which in one scenario, I for the love of me, I can't understand specifically why fisheries went to Ministry of Agriculture, but it's supposed to have gone to Ministry of Environment. Do you know why I say this, Helmut?
Mm-hmm.
You see, under Ministry of Environment, they've got forestry and environment, ne?
Mm-hmm.
But a forest is part of an environment. Fisheries is in the marine environment,
fishery. The activity of fishing is in the marine environment.
Yeah.
But the unfortunate thing is that in Ministry of Environment's particular mandate, you don't see marine resources being its part of its mandate. Now, before Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Resources was shifted or merged into Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform, because you can clearly see it's a perspective, the merger was done from the extractive activity of agriculture and fishing, because they are both extractive, just like mining. But you can't put something that you eat alongside mining, because you don't eat mining. You don't eat the proceeds of mining.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It depends on how you classify what is to be eaten.
Well,
it could be cake or it could be pap.
Or you can drive the proceeds of mining.
Which is also the chopping. Or, sorry for using an informal term. Which is also the eating. Said driving, you know. And I'm not talking about any of your puns, Helmut. We're not talking about people's number plates here. Please, leave the number plates out of this. Please, Helmut, no number plate mentions.
Thank you for Israeling my point.
Well, somebody's got to Israel it right now. So, yeah. So, when we look at this scenario.
Yeah.
The climate change workshop that I had to attend for the 5 days in Swakop in 2024, 2 years that way. Now, at the start of that workshop, one of the tutors or said facilitators highlighted that there was this sort of like internalized dispute between the Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Resources and the Ministry of Environment. Remember, with the Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Resources, they were supposed to have a marine spatial plan, an MSP. Now, an MSP, Helmut, outlines all activities from conservation to fishing to underwater activities to deep sea underwater activities, which can include mining, or it actually refers to mining, and both can also refer to fishing, and then tourism, because you have water-based tourism activities, and then there's obviously also shipping lanes and transport channels that also have to be catered for.
Yeah.
Now, at that stage, I was still doing the business and economic segment, and I did a discussion on the marine spatial planning of Namibia. And the MSP, it was just a policy document. But there's actually something else that Namibia had signed on to, where Namibia has to define its MSP. Because, Helmut, your MSP can't just be in your national waters, which is like 20 kilometers. Your MSP has to include also your special economic zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 300 kilometers.
And thank heavens for that. We're this close to missing Ahoy.
That's where they say, primarily, you know, the MSP has to basically facilitate this particular distance itself so that you know, as a country, what activities you can conduct. And basically how you can enjoy said particular, the proceeds of said particular activities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, coming down to the discussion on the ground in terms of the litigation that we've seen so far. Namibia, let me already throw this one particular nugget of fascinating information in here. Namibia currently is measured by this report. Well, actually not by the report itself. It's measured by the resource that the report relies on. Namibia has one current active court case taking place, and I just want to make mention of it, Helmut, just before I end on my point. Namibia's current litigation is the one based in Namibia's northeast. This is the Kumkara Community Forest Management Association versus the Environmental Commissioner. And this is specifically in the High Court of Namibia, currently ongoing. It says status is decided already. The summary just highlights that it was the local Kavango community and a civil society organization that initiated proceedings against the Namibia Environmental Commissioner. And primarily, let me just get, and this was regarding the activities of Recon Africa and the exploration that they were conducting there in the northeast of the country. And primarily is that the applicants who were the people bringing the court case were ordered to pay the legal costs because, basically the legal, they lost the legal challenge that they brought.
And that's what happens in civil law cases.
Yeah. So, they basically, so the court, the High Court held that it did not have jurisdiction specifically in this engagement as the Environmental Management Act reserves the right to decide on the appeal of, on the appeal for the minister. The High Court considered that the intervention would be possible only if the minister refused to make any decision or if the minister had already made a decision. And on 29 July 2022, the High Court then rejected the applicant's requests and thus, the case technically was thrown out. So, that was just in a nutshell. Namibia is part of this, part of this thing, even though it's a case that's technically done. However, the resource that the same report relies on is known as the, just want to get its full name. It's known as the Sabine Center for Climate Change Law, but it's part of Columbia Climate Law School. It's part of the Columbia Law School, also a department of a university. So, yeah, so they basically look at these things and they factor in a whole bunch of court cases, laws, environmental laws from around the world in order to measure. So the, what they would do is they would look at a country on a map and then find out if this country has any environmental laws in terms of environmental protection.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see, is there any
ongoing cases,
any case that has been raised by, so that cites this law as the basis for starting the legal challenge.
Yeah.
So Namibia obviously was in such a scenario. South Africa has, it says here, South Africa also has one. South Africa actually has 12. Such court cases, just so that you know, guys, these 12 court cases as early as, let me just see, as early as early as 2015. So yeah, many of the early ones had been pending, I had been decided already. The earliest one that is still pending is from 2017, the City of Cape Town versus the National Energy Regulator and the Minister of Energy. The City of Cape Town itself taking another two public entities to court. Another one is the Sustaining the Wild Coast NPC and others versus the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy and others. There's another pending one from 2021 in South Africa still is the SDCEA and Groundwork versus the Minister of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment. Heading to 2024 still, there's an Earth, Life and Groundwork versus the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment of the Republic of South Africa. And then the last one of 2024 that was brought in last year was Just Share NPC, Aeon Investment Management, Fossil Free South Africa, and the Thungela Resources Limited, Companies and Intellectual Property Commission of South Africa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 12 cases that South Africa, so they report, they record pending and decided ones just to show you a track record of what has happened there. So, yeah. That's just in a nutshell the discussion. Or do you still want me to talk about Zambia at least? Because I see Zambia also has one here in this resource.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So this one is also of last year, 2025, Climate Action Professionals, Zambia versus the Attorney General itself. Just in a nutshell what this court case was about. This was primarily a case that concerned a constitutional petition that was filed by the climate action professionals, primarily against the Attorney General. The petition challenged the state's alleged failure to operationalize key climate governance mechanisms that were established under the Green Economy and Climate Change Act number 18 of 2024. Now, the nice thing that the report highlights, obviously because the report depends on this resource that that they cited as well. The nice thing that the report highlights, Helmut, is literally that people have now become aware since 2015 that doesn't matter if you're a multinational, doesn't matter if you're a government, doesn't matter if you're a local authority, doesn't matter if you're a specific entity, you can be taken to court for failure to, for what you signed on to at the Paris Climate Agreement. Now remember, Namibia is a signatory to the Paris Climate Agreement. Let's make this categorically clear, Namibia. Dear listeners, this means if you are someone who is worried about the climate, worried about the natural environment, doesn't matter which part of the country you live in, you can technically take the government. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Prime Minister. But unfortunately, the government can be taken to court for not doing its part. Look, it's a broad statement I'm saying, but it's literally what I'm seeing here on the ground in action. It's the case studies, né? The examples, which are case studies, as well as also the definition that is cited. Remember that I don't know if you remember, Helmut, there was a time that our colleagues at the Ondangwa studio reported on the sand mining issues.
Yeah.
There in the north. I don't remember it specifically Ohangwena or the other regions just around it. But sand mining is predominantly an issue in the north. A major issue because one of the accusations that always come up from community members is that they were never consulted about. Today there is level ground right next to their homestead. Tomorrow they find this gaping hole.
Yeah.
Or today they see the activity of the excavation of the sand taking place, and then what's that thing that we highlighted from that report from the Uys lithium mining report, the unrehabilitated.
Unrehabilitated, more like
excavation sites.
I don't want to call them unrehabilitated mines because they are way smaller in size.
Yeah, because they were technically holes.
Yeah, they're basically giant holes, but big enough for domestic animals of the local residents to basically fall in there.
And for the people, because remember the one guy said people also fall into them.
Yeah.
So and you need to ask yourself is why didn't you buy a flashlight to be walking in it. But let us not sound clever. These are things that happened already. So, now, when you look at such a scenario, since the government has the responsibility and the mandate to protect the environment, which includes even the sand, the discussion also sometimes pops up that litigation can come about specifically when a hazardous scenario has been presented either directly around farming activities of people or the daily lives of people. Now, when you look at things like this, sure, but you won't be able to cite directly climate change or an environmental protection thing. You can cite environmental protection, but you will more cite public safety. What's that other thing that the HR people love? Occupational health and safety.
Occupational health hazard.
So they will more cite that particular part, né, than anything else.
Yeah.
Because then, technically, that kind of a court case won't be factored into this kind of resource because this resource already defined this report, what they define as being, a court case eligible to be cited in or to be factored into this report, meaning it should clearly cite climate goals, environmental protection goals, and so on. Then there's the other weird scenario that pops up from this report. This report then gives rise to a potential growing trend, Helmut. A potential growing trend specifically that people, civil society, and even other public actors like local authorities, regional authorities, SOEs, realize that they can even drive climate litigation. I'm just spitballing. I'm not promoting anyone. For example, the EIF, which is technically in its name an investment fund, they could probably like take another local authority to court for not doing its part in playing in maintaining environmental goals of Namibia. Because you remember, Namibia went and submitted updated nationally determined contributions in 2023. I still have to look at that and compare and contrast with the 2021.
Yeah.
Namibia updated those, 2023. Now, it's from that document that Namibia has to meet its climate goals. Now, you can obviously see the lowest level of governance of the public sector's representation is a local authority. The highest is obviously the president's office and judiciary and the legislature.
Yeah.
Those are the three levels, executive, judiciary, and legislature. So in that scenario, even cross litigation can take place there.
It actually gets worse. There are two main players here.
Yeah.
There are two main players here that must play a significant role. You have the scientific community that's basically very instrumental in the whole climate change energy transition discussion.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are, they're the ones that will provide us with the science of what is environmentally friendly and what is not, in a way that is, in a way, because they have the knowledge of all the inner working of human activities interaction with the environment.
Mm.
Now, those are the scientists. And the effect of the activities and the materials that we use on the environment, that is the science being put together. And research takes time to reach, a conclusive, very, reliable, results. Those are the scientists.
Mm.
Now, when you come on the political side of things, you have your lawmakers. Now, your lawmakers now have to use have to use the information coming out of the scientific community so that they can draft the right legislations so that the two can complement.
Yeah.
And again, drafting legislations takes forever. And here's one of the challenging thing. One of the cases that is referenced in this I'm not sure if it got that from this report or from from an external source. It's one of Liuya versus RWE. Now RWE is a major coal company and it's German. It's been operating in Peru, and it was dragged to one of the environmental court cases last year. So they found themselves in the middle of a legal hot soup. The applicants that dragged them to court, the point they made in front of the court was that this company has been operating in this part of Peru, which has a lot of glaciers around it and very nearby areas, and their pollution has caused some degree of melting to these glaciers.
Yeah,
that was the point that was made by the applicants. Now, the thing is, the case did not, the case was ruled in favor of the company because the applicants failed to prove one very important thing of litigation, causation. You are linking the activities of the accused to the cause. So, the activities here is operating a coal energy industry. Now, the allegations being made is that those activities are the ones that led to the melting of the glacier.
Mm.
Now, you need a lot of scientific evidence to link this particular activity, not other external factors which may lead to the melting of the glaciers.
No, but here's the worst thing. The glacier has been melting naturally.
Now you see the point. You see, the reason why they
lost it. It's melting natural. If the sun shines, guy, ice will melt.
The court was like, it's not that we don't believe you.
Yeah.
All we are saying is, can you just give us the evidence that can show us without the benefit of a doubt
that it was
their activities, strictly their activities,
solely responsible for that melting. Not the sun, their activity. does that?
That's when everyone went, about that. Now, you see, the thing is, what this proving, that's why, it's in one of the reports. It's under complexities.
Mm.
So, the goal here would be providing the court with enough information that they can rule on, because you have to understand that, much of these litigations are fairly new in comparison to other aspects of the law.
Yeah.
So every ruling that's made will now have to, you know, is going to be used as judicial precedents for future environmental lawsuits.
Mm.
So if you make a wrong one today, chances are very high, you are basically laying the foundation for future wrong decision makings. So I don't know how we are going to navigate that.
Mm.
It's the science, the research from the science, yeah, to gather the information to, yeah, provide, like impeccable evidence in relation to questions like that.
Yeah.
The research is going to take forever. And even after, you know, it's going to take a very long time and a lot of money. You want to guess who is funding the research?
Definitely that same mining company.
Of course.
Do you know,
we are back in a loop.
Do you know who is potentially going to be an indirect, sort of like also target in this litigation?
Yeah.
Now that I realized it when I looked at this report. Now, obviously this report only looked at what is currently happening.
Yeah.
But you can also think to yourself from what the report is assessing, how wide the net potentially can expand. For example, remember the report that you and I did on the cost of AI and its data centers on the environment?
Yeah.
Oh.
The one that comes from that UN, that UN university department.
Yeah.
The tech sector can also be factored into this discussion, because
absolutely,
currently right now, the examples that we are highlighting, the examples that this report is also highlighting, is like direct environmentally impacting activities, like, let's say you show up there with a shovel.
Yeah.
You are potentially putting a endangered plant species in direct threat because you want to dig a trench.
Dig a hole, yeah.
Or you show up there let's say you want specific land for agriculture, but you already have agricultural land.
Yeah.
But the land you want, you get is so much land more with the ShopRite price,
because we buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you. Save on 4 kg real good chicken frozen mixed portions for $209.99. 6x1 liter clover full cream or low fat milk UHT process for only $136.99 per pack. And 3 kg Right Brand macaroni for a low $62.99. Deals valid until 5 July 2026. Get so much more with the ShopRite price. You get so much more with the ShopRite price, because we buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you. Save on 4 kg real good chicken frozen mixed portions for $209.99. 6x1 liter clover full cream or low fat milk UHT process for only $136.99 per pack. And 3 kg Right Brand macaroni for a low $62.99. Deals valid until 5 July 2026. Get so much more with the ShopRite price.
Welcome back. We are 16 minutes into the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And today's discussion is based in multiple lawsuits happening in the climate change discussion from both, public and private sector.
Yeah. So the net of potential litigation targets can include the tech industry. Specifically, data centers and, the direct tech giants, which also includes the AI guys, primarily because of the high cost of energy. Yeah. That they need for cooling and for staying on. So you can inadvertently see, primarily from what this report is basically saying.
Yeah.
If they cite a direct, environmental impact, because it's not just about something as obscure as a glacier, because a glacier will melt when the sun is out. I mean, come on, the sun is out. Who can stop the sun? Nobody.
That's the thing.
But if you look at primarily at energy needs of a data center and cooling needs of a data center, then we can start talking.
Water consumption is out. For
those things
one,
are measurable.
Those are measurable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can immediately see. Another scenario which is also worrisome for me is primarily the petrochemicals discussion.
Yeah.
Look, that coal company, RWE,
mm-hmm.
Is almost the same company that in Germany, just year after the start of the Ukraine conflict, then you remember the story that I told you of the German village that was relocated? The whole village was
so
relocated.
They can, so that they can make room for a coal mine. Coal mania.
So the town, it's a town, a whole local authority was moved away from the town. Basically, the company had to pay out the inhabitants,
the residents,
each one, for relocating you, because it's inconvenience that you're causing. And I mean, this town probably existed for like a couple of 100 years, 300 to 200 years. That's how old this town is. And now it was at that stage that the German government didn't know. So should they switch off the coal power stations or switch or keep them on?
Yeah.
And they were announcing the previous month that they're switching off the nuclear power stations of Germany, and then, but they were keeping the coal power stations still on. And so RWE needed more coal power. I needed more coal. What did they do? This, and apparently that was a discussion of that specific village in Germany was, it was already like in 3 years, 4 years, the length of preparation up to that point.
Mm.
It's also the famous scene where, it's also the place where they got the famous scene. You remember the guy, the wizard that was standing in the mud that came up until the kneecaps, and the police were trying to tackle the guy, and he did this, and then the police couldn't move. And then he became a meme after that. It was also that specific event. So yeah, but the main thing was the coal resource that was identified in that vicinity was under that town.
Yeah.
The town had, the whole town's registered residents were asked to leave. They were all compensated by the company. And obviously, must now the climate guys showed up, must now from the cities going like, no, don't move. This is inconveniencing people, but the company said, but I already did everything by compliance.
Yeah,
I complied with everything.
Yeah.
And I even paid the people out.
Yeah.
I just need to get to the resource. So yeah, so you can see a situation like that maybe, but then even then you can't cite climate change or environmental impact because this is a built up environment.
Yeah.
A human town. It was a constructed environment. So a constructed environment is not the natural environment. Also, so that you Namibians know about this, dear listeners, a town is a constructed environment. The natural environment is literally where there is no human living. It's literally virgin land and all that. So that particular scenario is probably maybe. But trying to prove a glacier and my digging activity is melting the glacier out of Hopman.
Look,
you never me digging a hole and the glacier melting. So I am generating the heat from my body heat from digging this hole with my shovel.
Look, the thing is, that I don't even know how they ended up. I mean, this is some of the things that that I sort of like don't understand in some of these legal proceedings. Like I don't know how they ended up there because look. All you just have to do is sit and try to link because you know the judge is going to ask that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you just help me link the activities of, of the respondent here? Yes. I need to help you because again, you brought the case. So the burden of proof is on you.
Yeah.
So, help me link this connection because I can't make a decision. Because what if take, for example, I make a decision today and then I find RWE. And then scientific information comes out about how glaciers behave and how they're responding to climate change. And information comes out that, well, their activities had nothing to do with the melting of those glaciers. Because there is, I'm not saying there is a, there is no possibility. Maybe. I'm also saying there is, they could be or could not be. We don't know for sure because we don't have the scientific data.
Maybe the tractor was burning just too warm at that time of day.
Now, just how many facilities, take for example, a coal power plant, produces, a coal power plant, but obviously it's producing, it's emitting a lot of carbon.
Yeah.
Carbon dioxide. But, in this place, the Paris in South America,
yeah,
there are also cars. Are you sure it's not cars are also not contributing? And there are agricultural activities. Are you sure it's not, are you sure it's not the tractors being used in these farming activities?
Mm.
And South America has a lot of animal activities, including cattle. Are you sure? So it's so now when you look at it from the reasons, some of the reasons why some of the sources of basically of heat that may contribute to the melting of glaciers, it's kind of difficult to just pinpoint one company, which is why you can imagine the confusion in the face of the judge. Like, look, it's not that I don't want to listen to you. I'm looking for a link, a nexus, the causation from this particular, not any other, not any other source like the cattle agricultural activities, cars being driven in Peru. We're not looking at that. You are just looking at this particular individual entity and its contribution to its melting point, to the melting of glaciers. So it's kind of difficult to connect the two.
Mm.
And that's why I'm saying that, these cases will just pop up. So I think on the bright side, pardon me, on the bright side, if you're in law school, you may want to look into environmental law because there's a lot of money that's going to, because this law, these cases are just going to pile up. Because a lot of information still have to come out of the scientific community.
Yeah.
And a lot of information, and that information is needed by, as we have seen in this case with RWE, that information coming out of the scientific community will then be used by lawmakers to draft the right laws that will be used to make the right decisions in court.
Mm.
And this, and scientific research takes a long time and a lot of money.
Mm. No, it does. Because what was one of the things that I remember from my high school geography? Just understand the climate of an area. Just to understand the climate of an area.
Yeah.
Of an area, one area. You at least should have been living there for 30 years. Or you should have been collecting data for 30 years. Now, you're going to ask me, Hamoud, that sounds like an awfully long time.
Because it is.
That sounds like an awfully long time of just observing climate and weather to understand a geographic location specific weather patterns and climatic patterns.
So it takes that long to gather the scientific evidence.
Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not black and white.
Yeah. So it's not like you were here last year and you can come fly back. Here.
So it's, okay, all right, it's 12 o'clock midnight. It's been 30 years now. We have reached the goal. No.
Yeah.
Now that we are on this discussion on, science and, lawmaking, I have a college late fine story for you.
Which one? I saw you had it open there.
you see, that was just me going through his Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy. Now, here's the thing. The Minister of Agriculture, right?
Yeah.
He says Minister of Agriculture.
The current minister or him as minister?
No, him as minister, okay. Not the current one.
Yeah.
He was the one in 2021, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Our lawmakers worked, I believe, tirelessly to put together our, Deeds Registries Act of 2015. And fast forward to 20, now, it was supposed to replace the 1937 Registry's office for the whole Namibia, except Rehoboth, because Rehoboth has a separate one for 1976.
Mm. Now, which is still active, can you believe it?
They are both active. Now, that's where I'm headed. We're supposed to be using the 2015 one. Mm. The reason why we're still using those two is because someone, as yours truly, Minister of Agriculture, made the rookiest mistake back in 2021. If you just go through the Deeds Registries of 2021, the Deeds Registries Act of 2021, it's an impeccable piece of legislation. It's wonderful. Mm. The people that implemented it, which included, Registries Board and the Minister, made a kindergarten, I swear, the dumbest legal, legislative, administrative mistake. Look, Section 93, subsection 2 of the registration of 20, of this Registries Act of 2015, makes it very clear that, to implement this piece of legislation, you first have to put it in a government gazette, and after that, after 30 days, that's when you put it in force. So you have a 30-day window. Mm. It says so in the piece of legislation. Now, that's section 93, subsection 2. Mm. Subsection 1 gives the minister and the minister and the, you know, the registries board that, gives them this administrative legislative power. Mm. So it basically means they can make rules as long as those rules are in line with the act and the constitution.
Yeah.
Now, why did I start with subsection 2? Because the requirements were very clear. After making it public, you first have to wait 30 days, yeah, before before it comes into force.
Yeah.
They made it public and put it in force the same day. And Benkwintuk was like, are you guys nuts? Now, they dragged each other to court, and Benkwintuk won. They were told, look, man, it's not like we hate you. You have to understand the piece of legislation that you just took and brought into force. You brought it into force illegally. It's like you having a key, your car keys in the pocket, and then you decided to jumpstart it. Now, they basically jumpstarted the legislation, which made it very invalid legally. That means every transaction, we are talking about the entire Namibia's, property market, their transactions were supposed to be based on that piece of legislation, which makes all the transactions equally invalid.
Yeah.
So the court was like, okay, you know what, excellent piece of legislation, but we're going to have to rewind back to the 1937 and 1976 of Rehoboth until you guys figure this out. My question is, how the heck did they miss that? Because...
let me highlight that in before you get to the because.
Yeah.
Do you know what is the funny thing, Hamud? Some of these pieces of legislation were things that probably didn't even reach the parliament session, the parliament level.
Well, this one did, from the look of things.
So it probably just skidded right through without any legal challenge. Not legal challenge, without any particular... because there's a whole bunch of lawyers in the opposition.
The reason why I'm not pointing all the fingers to the parliamentarians is that...
because they had the last... Okay, it's not them. Who's the last guys that see it? National Council.
They are registered. The document itself, the documents itself, technical-wise... it's excellent. Mm. It's implementation that was not followed. Mm. Because the document itself makes it clear that to implement this, first you have to make it public and then wait for 30 days and then put it in force.
Yeah.
And, the instructions are very clear in subsection, that's a 93 subsection. The thing is, the people that implemented it did not follow those instructions.
Yeah.
Yeah. They decided to make it public and implement it within the 30 days window,
yeah,
contrary to what the subsection said.
Yeah. Because the subsection says,
wait 30 days.
Yeah.
They decided not to wait for 30 days. And financial institutions were like, guys, we are dealing with mortgages here.
Mm.
Very soon you will find people in court saying, why do I have to pay this back? I mean, it's based on the piece of legislation that was jump-started.
Fascinating stuff.
And
that's why we do the home run, guys.
Now, look, the question I kept asking myself was, how the heck? I mean, the minister alone making a mistake like that, I mean, that's maybe understandable.
Yeah.
But the minister, with the approval of the board, none of them just saw that.
Well, here's another discussion also, Amut. The exact same discussion of yesterday, where there was an entity that is appointed by an act. And the entity is not there present for the discussion about its activity and its sector.
Now, is it, oh yeah, that.
Do you know who was
professional gossip?
Do you know who was present? The lotteries board people. Now remember the previous time when we had the discussion about the lotteries board development and lotteries and the new legislation and stuff, yeah. Where I asked a few questions there in terms of, does this mean things will happen and at what stage is Namibia's national lottery development?
Yeah.
Now, a lottery can also lead to gambling, right? Playing a lottery can also lead to gambling.
Okay, doesn't that just, practically and technically just falls under gambling?
It basically does, because even, what's the guy's name? The South Africans that were there, McBride and Matlala, once again emphasizing, no relation to any of the people to what's happening in South Africa.
I mean, and it was the
there are so many Maklalas in South Africa, just so that you guys know.
It was the three of you, Matlala.
McBride and Maklala. It's me, McBride and Maklala that were talking.
Like, did you guys introduce each other at some point?
Why?
Because I would have, after being told I'm Matlala, and someone tells me, and then the next guy goes, I'm McBride. I would have gone with I'm
McBride. They were standing there and basically, you know, because they were in line to do they had to do their presentation first and then they followed into a panel discussion where Matlala had to sit down first and then McBride had to take place, had to participate in a third one. In the second panel discussion. No, McBride didn't participate in the second one. The second one was just purely from Ministry of Health and Lifeline Childline. One of their particular sort of like representatives, two of their representatives were there.
Matlala, McBride.
But anyway, so.
I would have gone with McDwight.
Where do I fit into that?
Part of the panel discussion.
But the conversation that emanated from the presentation and so on that the South Africans gave McBride specifically was that they realized also with the lottery, South Africans were also, basically technically compulsively buying every week lottery tickets.
Yeah.
When I say compulsively, the compulsion is born from that the person sees this massive goal, that they also see themselves winning these millions. Now, the lotteries board people there were present of Namibia, they were also highlighting, listen, everything with regards to a lottery is still under development. But remember, case in point here, the gambling board was also not present at the lotteries development discussion, that took place in, was it January or was it in February when I attended it? One of the 2 months. The gambling board wasn't there once again. Once again, they were proxied by the Ministry of Environment officials. And at that stage, it was the executive director that was present, the one lady. She was a director. Which highlights a core function here in terms of like the example you just now gave of the registry board, the registrar board, or the board of registration of deeds.
The deeds board.
Let's just call it the deeds board or whatever.
What did they do?
Is it the deeds board or the registries board?
These registries.
Yeah, those guys. So they know they've got a function. They know they have powers that come from an act.
Yeah.
The thing that we have to look at, Helmut, because this is now where I'm highlighting a piece of concern, which I now understand as to what some people in Namibia
really find an issue with. Why should we give powers to a minister for a minister to make the last decision? If we have seen technically what has happened with Fishrod.
Yeah.
From giving powers to a minister. Discretionary powers.
Yeah.
This particular antic has to change because this is not how you put faith in a system or develop faith in a system. If that board exists, ne?
Yeah.
That board must have the relevant powers to make decisions. All they have got to do is, in the event of a dispute, the ministry, not the minister, the ministry must have then a backup strategy plan in terms of how to mitigate disputes or to participate in disputes. Or that they should have a 10-point action plan. I'm just pulling the word 10-point out of the air somewhere. But like an action plan in the event of, if this board is found to be in conflict of something, or they have got questionable activities, or they've been undermined in one or other way, their powers and mandate, then the minister, the directorate under which this board falls, yeah, or reports to,
yeah,
they then have something to fall back on. Remember the discussion of the seaweed guy?
Yeah.
The seaweed guy had to register the His fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
His seaweed fertilizer. He had to register his seaweed fertilizer.
Yeah.
It got rejected. But within the rejection, he's allowed to appeal. He's got an appeal process. Because the appeal process is, he's got to write a letter.
Yeah.
He wrote the letter. In that time, what happened? The first Minister of Agriculture we had was unfortunately arrested the Saturday. Okay, not the exact Saturday, but in that specific timeline that his application was going through, the first minister was arrested.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there was a period within that scenario that the minister should have responded to his letter. And in the event that the minister, because the minister could not, in that event, now it technically placed the ministry in hot water regarding this discussion. Oops. Now that they were at court. Last time when we did this discussion, they were at court.
Now, the thing is, okay. The part of delegating these responsibilities is subordinate legislation. It's basically delegated authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, otherwise, we have a bunch of legislations. I found this delegated authority in terms of, administrative, legislative authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the Ministry of Agriculture. What's that piece of legislation? The one that was used to basically halt the activities of the Rosatom guys in the Mike region.
It's the Water Resource Act.
That also has this delegated.
The Water Management Act.
Yeah, thank you, Water Management Act.
Yeah.
Now, it has a section that basically gives the minister that power to make rules, as long as, again, the main requirement is, as long as the rules are authorized by the act. You don't just go around, just scratching your head and whimsically coming up with stuff. I think I've gone through 3 to 4 acts that has that, but I still have to confirm with more.
The ones that give discretionary powers to a minister.
They all have one thing in common, those ones that I've seen. They have regulations. Take, for example, the now post Registries Act of 2015.
Mm.
Section 92, subsection 1 reads, there is, point of correction. It's a regulations board, not this registry.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay,
regulations board, yeah. Section 92, subsection 1 reads, there is established a deeds registries regulation. Yeah, a deeds registries regulations board to be known as the regulations board. And the regulations board consists of the following. Then they give a list of members, and then you just you scroll through the whole thing. Then you go to 92 subsection 2. Mm. My God, that's a long one. Yes, momento. Little unfold, you know, a little folded. Now, subsection 2. Subsection 2 is the one that puts out the outline of subsection 3. Yeah, in respect of the number of regulatory regulations board appointed in this section, in this term, they are just pointing out a bunch of requirements of appointing boards. But those guys are supposed to work together with the minister to bring the document to life. And they made one giant rookie mistake that ended up with them basically the whole ministry being dragged to court. And they were asked to explain one very simple thing, because you have to understand, a Pink Windhoek became basically the main applicant in asking this major question here. And, we as a financial institution, we have a lot of, we have a lot of properties that were basically, moving around along with the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a lot of movable and immovable and physical and non-physical properties like your bonds, for example. All these things will rely on this document. If the document itself is flawed, then every transaction that we are overseeing is also going to be brought to question. So that is just not good for business. And believe me, lawyers would love that one. And the thing is, the reason why I went straight to that detour is when you are talking about when you look at it from the climate litigation standpoint.
Mm.
This is going to, and also especially putting in mind that in these reports, you have complexities is one of those things that's also referenced.
Yeah.
Yeah. And seeing that when you are in court, you need to provide, your laws must be, they must not be ambiguous. So that is now understandable, when you look at why RWE, why that court, that German court found that, we can't actually just, for the love of us, we're really trying here, but we cannot connect this particular company's activities to the melting of glaciers. It could have been any number of things. Unless you provide us with that evidence, providing that link, I'm sorry, we can't help you.
Yeah.
So that means that put a lot of question marks with regards to how much information of human activities can be connected directly to some of the changes that are happening in the environment. Like you pointed out, a glacier is just one giant mountain of ice.
Yep.
When sun rises, that thing is gonna freeze. That thing is gonna melt.
Yeah.
Now there are a lot of heat-emitting activities, which I pointed out, including cars. Now, it would be very... imagine a scientist now. You have scientists, you pay a group of scientists to help you with your case so they can help you connect this company's activities to this melting ice. And then the defendant's lawyers will bring up questions like... are you sure it's not the population increase? And they can point you to the rise in population in the number of years that this company has been in operation in this particular area.
Yeah.
Now, you can't rule that out, because how are you going to measure how much carbon dioxide is being breathed out by people and the impact it has on a giant mountain of ice?
Yep.
Again, environmental law is about to go very lucrative.
I mean, besides the cost, if you lose the case.
Don't lose it because you're cooked.
If you lose the case, costs will be against you.
If you lose the case, that's on you.
Yep. But we'll quickly be taking a short break, dear listeners. We'll come back right after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We are 12 minutes before the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we're about to disappear. So before we do, pardon me. Before we do, let me just run you through something that I think I have mixed up a few information here, and correcting myself before I miss, before I confuse my listeners. Deeds Registries Act 2015. My homies and I, about a year or two ago, we laughed our lungs out when we came across the, Benkwindu case on this act. Section 93, regulations. A minister, on the recommendation of the regulations board, may make regulations relating to, then they go through just a bunch of, specific confinement in terms of operation parameters that the minister is given in terms of making laws. Just you have to understand, this is administrative legislation. It's it's not a parliament. It's just him, having that what they call that prerogative. Politicians in there. Now, then you just scroll all the way to subsection 3. Subsection 2. Section 93, subsection 2. The commencement date of the regulations is the date specified in the notice of the Government Gazette. Now, which may not be a date less than 30 days after the publication of the regulation in the Gazette. Not just the document itself, but any other, any other regulations that you will make after being empowered by this act. And decided maybe, just maybe, he and his board thought, Section 93, subsection 3 of this act only applies to the regulations that we are going to make. But this law, this legislation itself, these rules does not apply to it. Well, they had to find out the hard way when they were in court that it does. And now I have to read two Deeds Registry Acts because a bunch of people didn't do their job right. I could be reading one by now, just one. Now, if you are in law school and you are wondering why you are reading two Deeds Registry's office, congratulations. Go to that case. It's a beautiful case. That's one thing I like about the discipline of law. You are basically listening to people screw up and then laughing at them like you don't have your own. We all have ours, so let's just put a pause on that. Before we continue with, or more like wrap it up, because we are basically out of time at this point. 2027 applications, Vilvicha University 2027 applications are now open. Faculty of Health Sciences programs, a certificate for enrolled nursing, for enrolled nurse, midwife slash accountures level 6. Certificate in pharmacy level 5, diploma in environmental health science level 6, bachelor of social work honors, bachelor of nursing and midwifery science honors, postgraduate diploma in community health nursing level 8, postgraduate diploma in occupational health and safety level 8, postgraduate diploma in mental health nursing level 8, master of public health, master of occupational health hazard. For more information, call 081-403-6406. Vilvicha University, where everyone is an achiever. So, pardon me, environmental lawsuits are flying left, right, and center from the look of things, and they have been somewhat of a rapid increase in environmental related legal disputes after 2015. And if you have been following these environmental discussions, or if you haven't, don't worry. That's why Homran is here. 2015, your leaders met in Paris, France, where they signed something called Paris Climate Agreements on what every country should now do to, on its part, to contribute to be more like part of the overall energy, not just the energy transition. Energy transition is a subtopic under the overall environmental challenge mitigation strategies, basically. Now, they met and they signed a bunch of documents in suits, and we all know the drill. They smiled at the end of the whole event for pictures, you know, like one of those kids in Jet magazine smile. Now, because of all this, one of the thing that's basically no brainer is that once you're a signatory, then you have to implement your climate change mitigation strategies in your countries. Now, for you to implement any of these changes, you first have to make sure that you have the right legislations for it. For you to have the right legislations, you have to come up with those legislations. And once you come up with these legislations, going against them, whether you're a public official or you are a company, multinational or not, you find yourself in court for a violation of that environmental piece of legislation. And a lot of countries, from the look of things, at least from a legislative standpoint, they did implement this. And now there is seen to be a global clash between the legislations in different countries. Yeah, between the legislations in different countries, especially environmental legislations, and the entities for a lot of a lot of companies that are whose activities are being seen as going contrary to these legislations, and as a result, you have lawsuits flying left, right, and center. The last thing I expected was to find Peru and a German energy firm, which I should have seen because. Well, much of multinational companies operating the world over are coming out of Western Europe and in North America. So, no surprises there. I just didn't see it coming. All I'm saying is I didn't see it coming. But the thing is, just trying not to murder someone is taking over my screen. Anyway, so now what you have here is something that is going to take a while to sort of like subside, because the reports point out that after 2051 Paris Agreement, Paris climate agreements, one thing that has been seen is that these cases have gone up. Environmental related cases have gone up. That for me indicates that after 2015 Paris agreements, a lot of lawmakers went to work to come up with a lot of environmental friendly legislations and implementing them in their country. Only problem is a lot of companies found themselves in a crossfire. Like, I imagine, Peru, the Peruvian government just passed laws after the 2015 Paris agreements. They passed laws which they implemented in their country, and then a German company operating in their jurisdiction was found, at least according to the government of Peru, that these guys are violating these laws, our environmental laws, so let's drag them to court. And the German government was like, okay, so you are suing one of us. We'll hear you out. Just bring them over. So they brought them over and they sat through, and the judge was like, yeah, you know, when I said bring them over so we can litigate, I thought you had all your signs checked out. But from the look of things, you didn't, because what I'm trying to do here is link the company's activities with the melting of the ice. Causation, very important. In criminal law, you hear that word a lot, causation. What happened versus the person that, the person that you are saying they did something. What did they do? What did they do? And can you connect them to can you connect their actions to that particular activity? That's it. If you can connect them, that's a good thing. Take, for example, that's the most terrible example I've ever thought of. If you people could read mind, you'd have slapped me like a million times by now. So, for those of you that want to be career politicians, fasten a seatbelt, because this is going to take a while, because lawmakers have to constantly change these legislations, because drafting it is not enough. You also have to change it to adapt to the science as it comes out. Because the reason why the RWE case failed is because of the lack, in my opinion, of scientific evidence that ties a company's activities to environmental activities, the negative ones, albeit, which is interesting. So that means the cases are going to go on. That means the lawmakers will constantly have to keep up. That means the lawyers will get to keep making the money. Just keep making the money. Now, this is somewhat even more challenging if you look at it from an African perspective. Because South America is also just a group of developing countries. So we can relate with Peru. I think that's why I picked that particular case. Now, the thing is, we have a lot of companies that are operating here. That means all the laws that we have to make, they have to align with it. My question is, from the look of things, the laws are going faster than the scientific evidence. The things, but which is a little tricky, because the science needs, because the law needs the science. And from the look of things, the law needs the science. The law needs the science. From the look of things, the laws are ahead and the science is a little behind. But to prove who is guilty and who is not in the using the laws, the science is needed. This is fascinating.
Ahmad, do you know what's the other thing also of the science?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not bashing on the scientists. I actually treasure you guys sometimes. Sometimes, I say sometimes. But we have all watched Frankenstein, not the latest movie. I've watched the previous versions. You are right. The science needs to play a catch-up role, for example, with the legal side of things, because the realm of law has already accounted for people's actions.
Are you kidding me? When lawmakers came from 2015 Paris agreements, they were like, you know what? Let's get cooking.
I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about, for example, remember the case law where I referenced to you the can of baked beans example, where this court in South Africa, way in the 1920s, and I had to read about it in my commercial law here in the 2000s. In the 1920s, they already factored in the technology of canning
yeah.
and preservatives and putting in where this thing of identifying the best before date for a product, where the discussion at the hand was literally for the reseller, meaning the shop owner, who also has responsibility of knowing when food has gone, when products have expired, and when food has expired, the responsibility they have to their customers and letting their customers know, you can't just know if you buy something past this date, it might not be in the best state it is.
Yeah, it's, we don't recommend it.
Yeah. Well, okay, recommendation is something else. So, you know, Helmut, it's something else. That word itself is something else. But yes, we don't recommend you consume if you buy this thing. And then people will ask, yeah, then why do you have expired food on your shelves? Which can also be a particular mandate, because there's technically, I don't know if there's a law in Namibia against selling expired food.
There must be.
No, because that labeling thing comes from South Africa.
When South Africa?
The labeling practice comes from South Africa. So South Africa has the law.
Dwight.
Then we probably have the law as well.
Dwight.
Yeah.
When South Africa sneeze.
Yeah, we literally get the flu.
Now, look.
No, we don't.
The thing is, good thing his camera is not facing on me now. Money.
If anyone heard that, guys, you are not wrong for thinking what I thought when Helmut made that sound.
And I'm not responsible for what's going on in your head.
if you guys heard that.
The thing is, we were once a South African province. A bunch of things. And it's a good thing you brought that up. And for some reason, I've been burying myself in properties. And it's a beautiful place. Property and corporate. Ooh, they are awesome. Administrative is just that. A lot of administrative stuff. Now, the thing is,
but for some reason, humans think they can run away from administration.
It's
like the colleagues that I had to learn fractions here in the studio. Remember that day?
Fractions?
Yeah.
Seriously?
I had to explain to them that a third is a part, is a whole of 1/6. And then they went like, huh, Dwight? I'm like, I don't.
Hey, now you remind me of that media individual or personnel that asked you, what is space science?
And I looked at them. I said, look up to the sky. I want to say, look up to the sky.
Dwight, I've been asked what geopolitics means.
No, Helmut, that is still understandable.
By someone in the media.
Okay. Do you know what I've realized? Do you know what's the worst thing I've realized? Is how in the media practitioners are so easy to be fans of politicians.
Okay, that's not
without them knowing that in the field of study of political science, it is the aim of the politician to use the media. In some cases, some of the media colleagues just purely fail on staying neutral. Being a Switzerland. Not exactly Switzerland.
Yeah, that's a terrible example.
Not exactly Switzerland,
Switzerland was politically neutral. Financially, one-sided.
Never. The worst case is that they say yes and no over here. And then they do the exact opposites over here in the banking.
I totally understand the Swiss. How much money is in politics?
A lot.
Yeah, a lot of bribes coming out of the gold.
Yes.
Yeah, so they were like, you know,
the gold that they refuse to acknowledge they still have.
What gold?
Whose gold?
Gold?
Never.
They've done that. Remember, we're neutral. That's why. That's why I totally agree with you. Politicians were running around, as you can imagine, this time telling the medias that our country is neutral. The media just picked it up and then ran with it. They were not neutral. They have never been neutral. Politically, yes.
Yeah.
PR-wise, yes. Financially, they have always picked a side.
Yeah.
Just look at their money and you know where their allegiance lies.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, dear listeners, just before we end up, obviously, yeah, climate litigation is picking up. Climate court cases are ramping up.
Yeah.
It's very odd that we've only had one as Namibia. I'm slightly surprised. But they obviously defined how they got there.
Plus, Dwight, yeah. Don't forget.
Go on.
The one that we had.
Yeah.
How did it end?
Also, not in a positive for the applicants.
Exactly. Now, first of all, it costs a lot of money to file one.
They even will go to the High Court, Nohal. Oh, yeah. Because,
and if you lose.
Because it's probably only the only court that could start hearing that case.
Oh, boy. Now, oh, no.
Yeah. So you will anyway have to start high. And then anyway, there's an opportunity to appeal to literally go to take it to the Supreme Court. So, yeah. So the interesting thing, obviously, dear listeners, word of advice. Okay, yeah, if you're currently in law or law school, studying law.
Environmental law.
Take Helmut's advice.
Highly recommended.
Go for environmental law. If you are part of the political science sphere of things, just know that your days might be numbered because you might end up in court as a politician who said, yes, 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 doing a ruto for the money.
Yeah, my English teacher always told us in high school that when you go on the internet, don't be a yes machine. If you don't want to be scammed, don't be a yes machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't just click yes, 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 yes. But, well, that brings us to the end of today's Home Run. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. This brings us to the end of Home Run. Until tomorrow.
Stay tuned, dear listeners, for the next show, which is the China Corner, after this.